Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is wonderful to be gathered once again in our Father's house on this amazing Thanksgiving Eve. Such an amazing thing that we have this world that our God has made, the many blessings that He has showered us with, and now we have the opportunity to return thanks and praise to Him for all that He has given us. And as we are here today, let us remember the time that we were brought into this kingdom of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening and we just thank you, Lord. We thank you and thank you again, Lord, for all the many things that you have done for us. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, as we have this time to meditate upon our many blessings, Lord, and have the opportunity, Lord, to intentionally, Lord, and thoughtfully return praise and thanksgiving, Lord. Thank you for all of these things. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Let us now take this opportunity to confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. First reading tonight is Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." As they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." And then the sermon text for today is very meaningful to me, and I'm sure to many of you as well. It's a prayer that we have used, whole life, probably longer. Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his love endures forever. In 1789, George Washington signed the first proclamation, calling for a national day of thanksgiving in our country. Abraham Lincoln signed another such proclamation in 1863, setting the current tradition of thanksgiving. It makes a lot of sense for us to give thanks in this country. We have a lot to be thankful for. Those of you who have had the opportunity to travel throughout the world, you see that in most of the world, people live far more, how can I say, ruggedly than we do. You know, they don't have the things that we have. They don't have the conveniences. They don't have the comforts. They don't have the security. We are truly blessed. And it makes sense to give God praise and thanksgiving when we're blessed, when we have so many things and we have such comfort and we have such security. We should give thanks for all that God has given us. But what about the people that don't? I mean, because I wish every single one of us would have a Thanksgiving full of family and full of love and full of accord and people who love each other and get along and. But what about the families where people don't get along? What about the families where there's an empty chair from last year? Families where there's struggles and strain and stress and troubles. And what do we say to these families? Can they be thankful? And the thing is that I think a lot of times when we think about Thanksgiving, we're very much focused on first article gifts. We just had the creed, right? And remember the first article? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. The stuff that God has given us is amazing. The spectacular creation we live in, the people that he has put around us, the people that he has given us to love and who love us, the people that he has given us to care for and who care for us. It is an amazing place that we live. And that's just the people, the stuff. I mean, capitalism's been good to America. You know, we've got more conveniences and stuff than anybody ever has in history. What a crazy time that we live when we carry around in our pockets little computers connected to each other on this internet. What are we, these comfortable vehicles that we rode here in, anybody get wet on the way here? You know, 100 years ago, you would have gotten wet on the way here. We live in an amazing time. This room, huge room, climate controlled, cool in the summer, warm in the winter. Unbelievable. Nobody even had to come early to start the fire. I mean, the world we live in is spectacular, and we are blessed. But this is only a piece of the gift that God gives us. Because God did create this world. He did give us all our blessings. But we need to remember that these are not the only things that God has done for us. Because shortly after creating this world, mankind fell into sin. And when we sinned, we really messed things up. You know, it's because we sinned that the perfect creation that God has created has been tipped upside down and just shaken, corrupted, messed up. The things that were supposed to be always good have turned to being not so good. I mean, there are good bacteria in the world. But now there's a lot of bad bacteria too. And viruses and storms and earthquakes and famines and tsunamis and hurricanes and tornadoes. And I mean, all the things that have gone wrong since sin entered the world and just messed up God's perfect creation. But that's just the stuff, that's just this world's stuff. The damage, the biggest damage that sin caused is that it corrupted our relationship with God. And that was the worst. Because the God who created all this for these people that he loved, the people turned their backs on him. And were no longer able to have the relationship with God that God had desired. And because of that, his people were stubborn and sinful and continually tries to go their own way, thinking that they know better, thinking that they're wiser than him, thinking that God's law is, you know, good for some people, but not for me. I know better. I can live my life the way I want. It won't end up badly this time, but we all know that it always does. And the worst part of that relationship is that when our time on this planet is done, we are eternal. We're going to live forever somewhere. If our relationship with God is broken, there's only one place we can go. But our God hated that. Our God, refused to accept that the people that he loved would be lost forever. And so he came up with a plan. He figured out a way that he could restore his people to himself, a way that he could fix everything that was wrong, a way to get this sin dealt with so that the restoration of the people of God with God and even the nature, the world that God had created could all be set right again. He wanted to make it all right again. And so he devised an absolutely insane plan. God would become a person and move into the world. And we talked about this on Sunday in Bible study, the absolute insanity of God becoming man. I mean, God and man, there's nothing the same between God and people. People need God provides. God is wise. People are generally very, very foolish. God is the one who is strong and we are weak. God, everything that God is, we are not. It's just kind of the way it is. I mean, it's very easy to decide to discern whether or not somebody is God because, you know, there's a big difference. But somehow God devised a way to bring humanity and divinity together in the person of Jesus. What a crazy thing. And what's even more crazy than the fact of what he did was the motivation why he did it. That he loved you so much that he was going to do crazy things to make it possible for you to live in eternity with him forever. Your God loves you so much that he willingly left heaven, became a person, and was born a baby to some poor people in a manger. He lived a poor life, and when he did go into his ministry, he wasn't even respected by the spiritual leaders who should have recognized him. And finally, he came to the inevitable end. The reason he came, not a bug, but a feature of Jesus' life, he was crucified for us on the cross. And on the cross, he died an innocent man, innocent of his own doing, but guilty because he carried the sin of all of us. And on the cross, he paid the full penalty due the guilt, our guilt that he bore. And because of what Jesus did on the cross, because he paid the penalty, because he died, because he rose again triumphant over death, because he is the firstborn from the grave, the one who first arose, but he's not going to be the last, because on the last day, all of us also will rise because of what Jesus has done for us. Only we get to rise to live in live in heaven, in paradise, eternally with him. And you know, here's the other thing. There's one more thing is that without faith in Jesus, the gift of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus, the salvation that Jesus earned on our behalf would not be accessible to us. And our God was still not okay with that. And so he sent the Holy Spirit into the world to work in our hearts, to convert us, to give us faith, to turn us from people who were enemies of God and willful and disobedient into children of God who love him fiercely and are loved by him and receive the gifts that he earned for us. Folks, here's the thing. We will be thankful if we look at the world around us. But your thanksgiving will be absolutely unstoppable and bulletproof if your eyes are on God himself. If you look at who he is and what he has done for you, The things that he has done for you that cannot be taken away. The gifts of this world are beautiful and wonderful, but they will not last forever. The gifts that will last forever, the gifts that cannot be taken away, is the death and resurrection that Jesus lived for us. And the eternal life that we get to look forward to. I mean, I know how it is. I mean, I'm not to the point where I'm, you know, using a cane to walk around yet, but I am to the point where my back hurts all the time. You know, I know what it means that your body is going to break down. I know what it means that you are not able to do what you used to be able to do, and that it's probably never going to come back, right? And in this world, by worldly standards, we would say we have lost. We are not going to get this back, but we know there is a truth that is bigger than what we experience, and that is this. We are going to be in paradise with God forever. And so while on this planet we may never be doing jumping jacks, in heaven we will run and never not grow weary. All things are going to be restored. And the best thing, our relationship with our God is going to be made perfect again. We will live in a perfect relationship with our God, a perfect relationship with all the people who are in heaven with us, a perfect relationship with the world that we live in. Everything will be right again. My friends, on this Thanksgiving, yes, be thankful for the worldly gifts that you have got, if you have received. Be thankful for the people that God has placed around you. But be thankful, first and foremost, that your names are written in the book of life, that you have been baptized into his holy Christian church, into the faith and the people who follow the one who rescued us all. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are an amazing God, a God above all. Lord, I pray that you would continue to help each and every one of us, Lord, to live out the faith that you have given us, Lord, to know with certainty that that you never leave us. No matter what happens in this life, you are walking beside us, Lord, and that the day is coming when all things will be made new. Thank you, Lord, for this incredible hope. In your name we pray. Amen. Now we head into the time of service where we receive our Lord's Supper. And as we head into this time of receiving the Lord's Supper, we want to make sure that we're receiving this gift as God intends. And a lot of that is dealing with the sin in our life. And it's not that we have to be perfect to come to the Lord's Supper. In fact, quite the opposite. This Lord's Supper was given to us so that we can receive the forgiveness of our sins. But if we're going to receive the forgiveness of sins, we need to have our hearts prepared to do so, which means a few things. First of all, we have to acknowledge that we are the ones who sinned. You know, every argument, we always remember everything the other person did wrong, right? That's not going to help you here. Here we want to take responsibility for what we've contributed, what we did wrong. We want to acknowledge that we are the problem and that we need to be fixed. And then we also want to acknowledge that because we're the problem, that we are sorry for the sins that we have committed, and that with God's help, we want to fight the sin in our life, right? And then we also want to remember that, you know, that the Spirit has given us faith. We ask ourselves the question, do I believe in Jesus? Do I believe in what he has done for me? And if we believe it, then we are again. It's another thing that's necessary. If we do not have faith, we cannot receive the forgiveness in this meal. And what God tells us is that if we're not ready to receive what we are about to be offered, it actually can hurt us and leave us in worse condition than before. And finally, we ask whether or not we believe in what it is that we are receiving in this meal, that God's body and blood is really, truly present here, that it is here at we physically, but we don't really understand much beyond that. You know, we know that it is body and blood. We know that it is bread and wine. We have words that we use to describe it, sacramental union, real presence. But what we mean is God says it's here, thus it's here. And so as we come into our Lord's presence today and to receive his special meal, let's confess the sins that we have in front of us and receive his absolution and come to the table where God's eternal blessing is given. Please stand. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Please stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are an amazing God, a God of many gifts, a God who, it seems like every single interaction with you, Lord, ends, begins, is preceded and followed, Lord, by blessing. Lord, you bless us every time we come into contact with you, Lord. And it makes sense. We can't come into contact with the living God without being changed. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in our hearts, Lord. Continue to work through your word. Continue to work through the words of all of us, Lord, for each other, that we would be encouraged in our faith, that we would remember your blessings, that we'd remember who you are and all that you have done for us, Lord, so that we can be constantly encouraged, knowing and remembering that no matter how crazy this world gets, that we are living for you and that we are anticipating a place that that you are still creating for us. Lord, thank you for blessing us, for giving us all this. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all those who are traveling this season. Lord, help them to be able to get where they're going safely and be able to return to us. Lord, we pray for all the children in our school that they would continue to grow in depth, that their faith would get deeper, Lord, and more meaningful, more filled with the promises, Lord, that you have given us. Lord, I pray that you would grow the families, help the fathers and the mothers continue to grow so that they are able to raise their children, Lord, with a great love and devotion to you. And Lord, we pray that you would give us all opportunity to not just be thankful for all that you have done for us, Lord, but that we would be able to speak it and share it and help more people, Lord, to be blessed by you and by your grace so that they also can live a life of purpose and meaning. and a life that has a future in heaven with you. All these things we come before you, Lord, and we pray. And we pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. My friends, it's been wonderful worshiping with you this evening. It's wonderful to have you guys here. I'll be there in the back after the service today. Just pray blessing on you and your families as you celebrate this Thanksgiving season.